to me a couple things. Believe it or not, literally in my notes, and you can come up and look later. Gee, I didn't have to go fetch this one. There was one here that wasn't all connected. Okay. In my notes is, the title of it is Different But Not Wrong. And actually in my notes, one of the things that I find out more and more is the lyrics of songs that I thought I knew from way back to all of a sudden I read them somewhere now and it's like, oh, that's not at all what I have been singing. So I mean, even to some worship songs, and I'm just always, my brain is like, oh, just lagging back a little bit, you know. And so, but today we're going to talk a little bit about someone who thought that they knew it all as far as God was concerned. And I knew some of the perspective that this team was going to have, because we have gone. We went many years ago, my wife and there was 40 of us that went down. We took kids, we took families and went down. And the perspective you get from going from Disneyland one day, the happiest place on earth, with teeming bunches of people everywhere, the mega consumerism, the fun and all that, and then the next day, into reality as to probably better than two-thirds of the world lives. Such different. We look in a mirror in the morning and we think, this is what the world is, this mirror here. And let me tell you, what you see in the mirror is so much different than what a lot of the world goes through. And so we're going to look at one of the most intriguing stories in the Bible, is Saul's conversion. And little background on Saul. He was, first of all, this conversion takes place years after the crucifixion. It takes place years after the crucifixion and shortly after Stephen was martyred for being a Christian. Stephen was stoned and was martyred, and the people that were, quote, in the way, which is what they were called, they weren't called Christians then, fled for their lives in fear. A lot of them went, there was a group that went to Damascus, and they were basically what you would almost call underground, kind of hidden, and trying to stay out of the way because of fear of their lives, fear of their lives. And why were they fearful? It was because this guy Saul. This guy Saul was a little background, the way what he was taught about God. You know how we learn things? We learn by example. Mainly our parents at a young age, what our parents give us as an example of life and what goes on. We see and we listen to that, and that influences us. And then what we have learned, education, what we have learned from teachers, what we have learned from school, what we have learned from people around us and what happens. And then also by our own life experiences, how that shapes us, how that shapes and makes us. And so Saul's parents were both Hebrews. He called himself the Hebrew of Hebrews. That he was, his parents were well respected in the denomination. They were well respected in the community, were thought of. He was well educated. He actually went to a school in Tarsus, was educated as to be a scholar, and then he actually went to a university. Yeah, they had universities. Actually went to a university in Jerusalem for more intense study of the Torah, more intense study of the Old Testament and the laws. And his experience with that made him extremely physically and mentally strong. And he was also taught tent making, which was one of the things that you would be taught as a scholar, so that you could be self-supportive and you could influence people that way. And he had a very, very good moral history. He kept the law very well, and so he was very highly thought of, and he thought that he was doing God's will by chasing down and either imprisoning the people in the way. Once you got in prison, rarely did you get out. And once you got in prison, more than likely, you could be executed. And there was a lot of believers in the way that were executed at that time. And so naturally, they were fearful. Saul was the guy. He was the big, he was LeBron James of the hunters. You know, he was the big guy. He was the one going out. And so much so that he goes before the leaders and says, hey, let me go to Damascus and let me chase down some of these. And we're actually going to read. We're going to read in Acts chapter 9. We're going to talk about this a little bit. Saul also had a tutor. His name, I don't think I can pronounce it very well, Gamaliel. He was a very high-ranking Pharisee that taught him also along the way while he was in school. So, Acts verse 9, chapter 1, and I'm on the clock, so we're going to go. Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters for him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. He goes and asks for permission. He gets letters. He gets the basically warrants to be able to grab anybody, men or women, and who are with men and women, children, and grab them and take them and return them to Jerusalem to be imprisoned, where a lot of them would never see the light of day again. As he was traveling, it happened that as he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him and fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Do you think that got his attention? Have you seen what a bright flash of lightning does? Can you see? It will light up everything around you in such a way that shadows flee, that there is no shadows, and it will light every corner. Just envision this is what happens to Saul. Knocks him on the ground. Now remember, he is so ingrained in his thinking about who God is and about his position in God's economy that it takes a huge flash of lightning, more so than if I just went to one of my kids like Stephen and say, hey, tap him on the shoulder and say, hey, let me give you a little direction. Okay, let me give you a little help. Well, I did that numerous times with him. Some of the times I should have used flash of lightning or the rod along with it, because sometimes he would listen, sometimes he wouldn't. But Saul, he gets this flash, literally knocks him to the ground, scares him to death, knocks him to the ground. And the people that were around him, his cohorts that were with him, they all saw it along with him, and they heard the voice. Who are you, Lord? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told to you what you must do. Probably not who he thought was going to be talking to him that morning. Probably not. The guy who he was leading to persecute the people that were following this, who he saw crucified, who he saw dead, who he saw is now talking to him in a loud, strong voice. Well, that'll wake you up. That'll wake you up. But was he convinced at that point? The men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice and seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground. Though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus, and he was there for 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. How terrifying would that be? And Saul was so convinced that, again, the tap on the shoulder wouldn't do it, the flash of lightning wouldn't do it. God removes his sight for 3 days. This powerful man removes his sight for 3 days. Saul goes to town, goes to a room, and for 3 days, it says he was praying. I bet he was begging to know what was going on. Can you imagine what the conversation was like? Can you imagine what his thinking was like at that point, what his spirit felt at that point? How confused, how scared he was at that point. And for 3 days, have you ever been so anxious, so nervous, so upset, so devastated that you didn't want to eat, that food did not even sound good to you, and that you just didn't even want to do it? For 3 days, he was in that state. So for 3 days, he's like that. Okay, now, let's move on. Verse 10, now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, get up, go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus, named Saul, for he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him so that he may regain his sight. Now, Ananias knew who this Saul was. Everybody in the way knew who Saul was. He was the guy that was chasing people down. And so, oh yeah, Lord, please, I want to go. Please, yes, I want to go. What does he say? He said what you and I would say, even if I had a vision and the audible voice. He said, but Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man and how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. Yeah, he killed them. And here he has authority from all the chief priests to bind all those who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. All right, so Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight. He got up, was baptized, and he took food and was strengthened. So what does that have to do with us today? Maybe you have been in the way for years, a long time. And maybe your mind is set on what you think, who God is, how God acts, how we should interact with people, and maybe you're set in that point. Not willing to move. Sitting on your, they call it your laurels. You know where your laurels are? That's where I put my wallet, all right? So sitting down, not being moved, not being used by God, maybe even comfortable where you're at. Scary spot to be. Or you're brand new. Or you're brand new in the way, you don't really know how all that works. You don't really know how all this is going on. You just know that God is starting to do something in your heart and inside of you. So I'm going to give you three practical ways to get connected with God. Now, I've been married to my wife for 37 years next month, August, 2 months. Was with her 6 years before that. She has a head knowledge that I love her. She has a head knowledge that we're married and that is together and that we're there. If all she had was a head knowledge because of something that had happened a long time ago, 36 years, her heart wouldn't be changed. But she also has a heart knowledge that I love her because of our interaction, because of our communication with each other. If you never communicate with your wife of 36 years, you may not make it to 37. I found that out. It takes constant communication and involvement with each other's life to find that fulfillment that comes from having a thriving marriage. So what does it take with our relationship with God? We got to have communication with God. We got to have communication that goes from just a head knowledge to a heart communication, to a heart knowledge with him. And so we're going to look at three different ways. So how do we communicate with God? First of all, we need to be immersed in God's word. You know what immersed means? That means down, under, think in the water. I mean, when you go swimming and you think, oh, I'm just not going to go here because I don't want to mess up my hair, or I don't want to get water in my ears, I don't want to get water in my eyes. I hate all those things also. Messing up the hair is really not an issue anymore. But to be fully immersed, man, you got to go down. And that water surrounds you everywhere. That's where we need to be in God's word. surrounded by his word. Let it infiltrate us everywhere that we are. Now, does that just mean just reading the Bible? Yes, absolutely. It means reading the Bible. Do you know that this is they call it a living word? A living word. I was having coffee with Pastor Dave here just a couple weeks ago, and it was just he and I, and he said, you know, I read something in the Bible that I've actually preached on before, that I have seen and I have interpreted it completely wrong. And I have just, God has given me this brand new thing over this passage, I'm not going to tell you what it is, over this passage of Scripture that I have read bunches of times, and it is alive and it has changed. It has changed because it affected him in his heart, and he actually spoke on it a couple of weeks ago after that. But God's word is that way. And so we need to, swallow it down within us. Now, we live in a time and day where we have so many avenues and opportunities to listen, to read, and to get into God's word. I remember when the Bible on tape came out. That was a big deal. How many of you had it looked like a big Bible that was all full of cassettes, and somebody had just narrated through the whole thing? Yeah. And you could put it in a cassette player, and you could listen to God's word. Because I didn't like to read. As a kid, I did not like to read whatsoever. I was definitely a visual learner, definitely wanted to show me how to do something. I can replicate it. I can do it. And then I had a son that said the same thing. Show me how to do it. I don't want to read. I don't want to do that. And then tomorrow I'm going to show you how to do it better than what you've been doing it. and so, but I learned that I love to read God's word. Was it easy to start? No. I had to discipline myself to do it, literally force myself to do it, but eventually, in a short time, that discipline turned to a delight, to where I crave God's word. I crave God's word. Think Pastor Dave's analogy of carrots, how he didn't like carrots, and then he finally convinced himself, I like carrots, I'm just gonna fake it till I make it. And then finally, now he likes carrots. Well, it was the same with reading God's word with me. Now, we have, my phone's on that. I don't need it on my phone. Usually, everybody has something in their pocket, a phone. And that phone, yeah, I have a phone because it's got the Bible app on it. I know that's not the only reason you have the phone. But anyway, you can listen. You can listen to God's word being read to you if you don't like to read. You can listen to it audibly through your phone. I mean, there are so many different ways to be able to. Am I going in and out? All right. There's so many different ways to connect to doing it. And so we really have no excuse these days. How many of you find time to, watch sports? Keep up on the sports news. How many of you have time trying to keep up with something that wouldn't be sports? The knitting news. I don't know if there is such a thing, but I don't know. So many that gardening or whatever passion that you have, you find time to keep up on that, don't you? You find time to hunt that down and dig in and be intrigued about it and know about it. Well, man, God wants to communicate with you. You got to have that one-on-one communication with him so that it moves your heart. Not just the head knowledge, but the heart knowledge. And have you ever heard of the term washing of the word? The washing of the word. Man, you get in God's word, and it will literally wash and cleanse you. I go home at night, I'm whooped by the time I get home. And I walk in, I'm like, oh man, I've got this and this and this to do that tonight when I get home. I wanted to do this and this. I'm just wore out. But I have learned. One, if I sit down and do something, I'm done. I'm like, mission is gone, done. But I have also learned, if I go take a warm cleansing shower, it will revive me. It will wash away that stuff of the day, and I will be ready to move on. As it is the same way what God's word will do. God's word will refresh you. God's word will cleanse you. It will give you motivation. It will give you energy. Why? Because we're communicating with the creator of the universe, the one who created you. One of the things that we are created to do is worship God. When we fulfill that in communication with him, man, it just connects. Can I get an amen from anybody? It connects that way. And so do not neglect God's word. Do not neglect God's word. And then secondly, seek the preaching, the learning, the speaking, the education of God's word. Not if you just come on Sundays and all you ever do is whoever is up here is in here, and this is all the reading you do, and this is all the direction you ever get is from up here for 35 minutes or whatever it is on Sunday morning, you're not going to connect with God and you're not going to grow. You're going to look in the mirror and it's going to look the same every day. You're going to get stuck on those laurels. You're going to get settled down in those laurels. Again, we live in a day and age of the internet where you can connect with excellent speakers all around the world. Not only ones that are currently alive, but man, you can connect with some of the greats. All of Spurgeon's sermons, that's a hard thing to say, are online. You can read through them. I mean, one of the biggest preachers ever. And you can connect with people from all the way around the world and find out it's the same God. It's not just the God that's here taking care of us little group here. It's the same God all around the world is what's doing. I listen to, I have five guys that I listen to for podcasts from sermons. It's really simple to do, super simple to do. Download them, automatically download it on my phone. I'm going to listen. A couple of them are from the churches where my grown kids are in California. I like to hear what they're being taught. And I really like listening to their two pastors. I really like, and what you do is you hunt around till you find someone that you can connect with, someone that teaches the way that you like to learn, okay, and connect with them. And now you think, yeah, but there's lots of crazies out there that teach God's word radically, that teach God's word. Yeah, absolutely. You know how you judge that? Oh, back up to step one, being in God's word. If you are in God's word, you will recognize the crazy. You will recognize it. You will recognize it, and you will be able to think, nope, all right, I don't agree with that. And you know what? You don't have to agree with 100% of anything except God's word. Except God's word, you know? Because there's crazy in all of us. If you don't think there's crazy in your family, probably you, you know? So I mean, you need to connect. You need to connect and learn because there are different perspectives dependent upon cultures and dependent upon locations, but the same God, the same word, the same Jesus is worldwide. And so you need to connect, and you need to listen to the testimonies of people. You know how encouraging testimonies are? Man, we went to Salem Leadership Foundation, this Christian organization in town that is a catalyst that connects needs and people and churches together, communities, and does all this. Been around for years. They've been a big part of our church, has supported us in different things that we have done. And they put on an annual once a year, it's, you know, fundraising thing. And man, I've been to like six or seven of them. And my wife is, you know, always gung-ho wanting me to go. And I'm always like, oh man, I've been there and seen that. It's okay. Somebody needs to go that hasn't been there so they can be inspired. You know, not me. You know, so they can be inspired. So I can sit home and watch a rerun of whatever or do something that I like to do. But I went this year. And it's like coming to church. Sometimes you just don't feel like coming, don't you? It's all right. Sometimes you don't feel like coming. You'd rather stay home. But when you get here and you do it, God, man, I'm glad I came. Well, it was the same way with that. You know why? Because I was really, really encouraged by all the testimonies they had of what their organization had done and the working around in Salem and the different aspects of what was going on in Salem. Sometimes all we see is doom and gloom. Do you know what sells on the news? Doom and gloom. Absolutely. But when you go and see something that is inspiring, man, it encourages you. It lifts your faith. And it like, man, I can be a part of this. I can do something. Well, it's the same way with listening to testimonies of people that have overcome things in life through the power of God, where God has moved on their life and has changed them. And it encourages me. That encourages me. Sometimes we think we're just old and we've seen it all. Oh, my goodness. Colonel Sanders opened his first chicken restaurant when he was 62 years old. 62 years old, had done a lot of stuff. How many of you have ever had a piece of Kentucky Fried Chicken? Yep, pretty much all of you. Pretty much all of you. So anyway, you're never too old to learn. You're never too old to learn things that are going on. And so, man, dive into the preaching of God's Word and the learning of God's Word. So many different ways. So many different ways. Oh, my goodness. All right, we're going to speed right up. Then this last one, which was a game changer for me, was a game changer for me after trying to do the numbers in my head, almost 30 years. And that is to be quiet. To be quiet. I always heard the term in my early Christian days, you need to find a quiet time for God. Well, I always thought that meant, because we had four kids in our house, quiet time where nobody was pulling, tugging on me, pooping on the floor, spitting up, or needed something that needed my attention. I always thought that was the quiet time. What the quiet time really was me being quiet. Was me being quiet, giving an opportunity for God to speak to me. You ever been with somebody that all they do is just yak and yak and yak and yak? You have. Pretty soon I'm like, oh Lord, deliver me from this. You know, and they'll start the whole scenario with either a question or they want your input. Well, they never shut up to where you can say a word. They never give you a breath. Now, I was going to go somewhere. My wife listens to these, so I can't say a thing about where I was going. So anyway, we're just going to be quiet. You need to be quiet. Now, I've started probably in the last 3 years a time in the morning where, and I'm a morning person, so I'm not saying that everybody has to do this. I would not encourage you to do it in the morning if you're not a morning person. But I have trained myself that I get up not at the last minute to get work on time. Used to be, I have a very high metabolism. I have to train myself to get up in time so I have breakfast. Now I have to train myself. I got up on time so I can get into God's Word. And I can have breakfast. And I can get to work on time. But what I have learned after every morning reading God's Word, reading a section of it, is I turn off light. I have my favorite chair. Turn off light. And now it's light at 5:30 in the morning. It's already light. But I'll sit with a cup of coffee, and I'll be quiet. And I will be quiet. I will try to close my mind from going on what I have to do for the day, close my mind what's going on. And I tell you, God has spoken to me. God has spoken some things to me, changes that I need to make in my life, different directions that I need to go, people I need to be with, things I need to do. And I have heard God's voice. Some people say, yeah, you can't hear God's voice. I have heard the clear and present voice in my head when I am quiet and I shut up. All right? We can't say shut up at my house, so we'll just say when you're quiet. All right? When you're quiet. So if you, and this was me for years, yeah, I would discipline myself to try to find time to read the Bible, and then I wanted to pray, and I would have a list. And it's good to have a list to pray for. It's a good thing to have a list. And then I thought I should be done. I'm good to go. Now, I do that. Okay, God, it's your turn. I'm going to be quiet. Because, you know, maybe there's something more important than what's on my list that God wants to tell me and that God wants to communicate to me. But if all I do is yak, 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 yak at him, he's going to have more patience than I do. With people that do that, he's going to have more patience with me. He might just pat me on the head, you know. He might poke me and say, it's time to be quiet. He might keep poking me. He might slap me around a couple times. He might hit me over the head. Anybody been done that? God's trying to tell you something, and you just will not listen? And he starts with that gentle, quiet voice, and pretty soon you're on your face. because you've been too proud to listen. And what does it say happens to a proud person? You're going to stumble and fall. You're going to stumble and fall. Or the lightning's going to flash so bright, it's going to knock you off your horse, out of the chariot, onto the ground. You're going to be blind for 3 days. I don't want to get that hard. I don't want to get that hard-hearted. I want to hear that small, quiet voice of God as he nudges me. And let me tell you, the times that I have responded to that have been so good. The times that I haven't, not so good. And I end up reaping the results of both. And let me tell you, I would much rather reap the results of God's grace in my life. Amen? Amen. Man, we're like out of time already. I'm gonna have you stand and shake around a couple minutes. Just stand up. Stand up. Get yourself alive. I don't want you to leave here this morning without having your heart changed for what is different. What is different is not always wrong. It's just different. It's just different. Is it okay that somebody looks different than you? Is it okay if somebody has a different color than you? A different personality than you? It's not wrong. It's just different. We need to learn to love people. Amen? We need to learn to love people. And how do you do that? You find out God's love for you, and you can transfer that God's love to other people. All right, we're going to pray. I'm going to quit yakking. Father God, thank you for today. God, I thank you for your many blessings. God, we're such a blessed people. And God, I pray this morning, God, that we would have hearts that seek after you. God, that we would have the ability and the discipline, God, to put ourselves in a position to hear your voice. God, and I pray this morning, God, just may we go out and may we just bless others with our lives. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, have a great day. Enjoy yourselves. Enjoy the great weather. Go fetch your kids and take them home.